Guys are stuck with another fishing sermon. I was looking at my notes, and last time I had saved a lesson was a year ago in June or July, and that's after we've been in fishing for a week, and now we are fishing up another week of fishing, so you guys get another fishing lesson. So if you don't like the fishing lessons, get Everett to schedule me in a different month of the year. So, but you know, it just strikes me every year when we're out there and we're fishing on the lake and we're doing all these things, how similar there are qualities to it. And then you start thinking about spiritually, there are lots of examples of fishing and that type of thing. And the passage that came to mind is in Matthew, is it up there? Nope. Let's see if I can do this. There we go. Matthew 4, 18 through 20. And that's where we're going to start this morning. And then we're just going to make several points about this, hopefully make some applications to our lives that will help us to go forth and do better or continue doing good. So we read here that it says, "While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' Immediately they left their nets and followed after him." So the title is, "Are You Fishing?" What brought to mind this idea was I was going to make a lot of analogies about this. As I looked at this passage, though, and the commentary that was associated with it, really this passage, these two verses, three verses, has a whole lesson in and of themselves, and that's what we're going to focus on today. This is a little bit different for me than I've usually topical type studies. This is a what I think I call expository, where you look at a certain passage and stay in that passage pretty much the whole sermon. So bear with me. We're going to work through this, and we're going to see how we do with it. But are you fishing? So it brings to mind a lot of different things about this. We'll make a lot of comparisons to the actual physical fishing too, but, and I think that's why Jesus obviously used this as an example to us in the revealed word to show us how it is and how it can be. So let's look at some of the characteristics of these men that he chose as he called upon. These were just ordinary men. They were actually kind of on the poor end of the economic scale of things. So we see from this that Christ chooses ordinary men to do extraordinary things. And that pattern is repeated throughout the whole story of the Bible. We can see the people that God chose to look back at the judges even. They came from common people. A lot of times the judges had to be convinced that they were the one chosen. Look at Moses starting from a lowly birth and elevated to the position he was. Over and over again, God chooses ordinary people. So what does that teach to us as we are fishing for men, as we are fishing? Well, everybody's a candidate, you know, and we teach and we preach that over and over again, but we can't look at the right person, look for the right candidate, look for the person that's already doing and living. We got to look for everybody. And you go back to the idea of fishing. When we're on the lake there and you throw that bait out on the lake, you have any idea you're going to catch anything? Do you know what you're going to catch? It could be anything from the little bitty ones that you kind of slip back over the side of the boat real quick, somebody knows you caught, to the big whoppers that, you know, may even stretch the line. You got to get the net to get in the boat. So you never know what you're going to catch. So, but anybody can go fishing. Anybody can be a fisherman. Anybody can extend and put that bait into the lake, so to speak. So we all, as Christians, are calling to be fishers of men. We are fishing. The answer to the question of the title is, are you fishing? Yes, you are. We all are. It's just a matter of whether we're fishing effectively or not as effectively as we could. So all men are candidates to be chosen for this job to go fishing. Were they learned men? No, we know that the fishermen in that time of the world, they weren't the most scholarly person. Now, when it says unlearned men, I would challenge you that this means they weren't book smart, so to speak. They hadn't gone to college. They hadn't. They weren't extraordinary gifts of knowledge, and they weren't prolific writers or verbal ability. They didn't have great things to do or to bring. But there are some requisite abilities or some qualities that we got to work on. You may not be the most eloquent speaker, and any of us that get up here and fill in forever know that, because it takes time, it takes effort, it takes practice to do these things. But you may not be the most eloquent speaker, but if you practice at it, if you work on it, if you develop those skills, you can get better at it. There's only certain basic skills required. When you talk about fishing for men, if you're talking about converting people, if you're talking about evangelism, there's only a certain fact that you've got to know. You got to know that we all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We got to know that God gave his only son as a sacrifice for our salvation. We have to know that he is the living son of God, and we have to know that we have to be baptized in order to get into that saved. That's really, when you break it down, there's not a whole lot that you got to know to fish for men. Now, as we talked about in a class over and over again, when you baptize someone or when someone's converted, that's really just step one. You have to keep teaching and keep learning and keep studying with that person or with yourselves too. So there's only basic skills required or basic knowledge, and they can be learned and they can be improved through effort and through time. We talked about in class, how do you do something well? You do it the first time. First time you rode a bicycle, did you do very good? Probably not. Probably fell off. What'd you do? Got back up and went a little further next time, a little further next time, to where it got easy, got to be second nature to you. So what this does, really, this unlearned men are not having to be extremely knowledgeable, book smart. What does it do? It changes the focus of the message. The focus is not on me being able to speak for you eloquently and professionally. It really focuses the power on the grace of God, shows the spotlight on God's word and the power that it is. And that's really what it's all about. And that's probably why God chose men that were ordinary. Because, let's face it, most of us are ordinary, some more so than others, but we're all ordinary. But we have that power, we have the ability through the Bible, through the word of God, to affect men eternally. What else do we know about this group of men? They were men of business. What were they doing? They were fishing. That was their livelihood. It wasn't spectacular. It wasn't glamorous. It wasn't that glorious, but it was what they did. It was an honest living. They showed their diligence in their honest calling to do that. It was a factor that they did. Who were they working with? In this case, they were working with their, in the next verse down, they're working with their father. And so it was a family business. There's a sense of identity, a sense of who they were and what they were. You look again back in the Bible story. Moses was called from keeping sheep. He was in the Midian desert, and he was keeping sheep. And God called him to lead his people out of Egypt. What was David before he got called? He was following the lambs and the sheep. He was doing something very, he was the lowest of the low. I mean, he had 11 brothers, all of his brothers. You go take care of the sheep because you're the baby of the family. You go do that. So these men that were, but they did their job and they did it well. They did the best they could. What is it that Satan wants of people? Well, he wants us to sin. But if you're being idle, if you're not being productive, if you're just sitting around not doing anything with yourself or with your time, it's going to be a whole lot more opportunity for sin and folly to enter into your life. You're going to be a lot more into there. So another point about this men of business type thing, do you have to be a professional evangelism or preacher or minister to be the one out fishing for men? No, you don't have to be. These guys were fishing. Christ called them, come, I will make you fishers of men. They did. They chose to leave their profession and to follow Christ full-time and be full-time evangelists or preachers or students of Christ, but you don't have to be. The effort that involved in fishing is the same effort that these men put into their business and the same effort they were going to put into following Christ and learning more about him. When we go fishing at the lake, what do we got to do? We got to prepare for it. We got to plan for it. We got to book the hotel room. We got to make sure we got the bait. We got to make sure the tackle is working. We got to make sure the boat's working. We got to make sure all these things have to go into place to go to do this. We don't just show up, throw in, and that type of thing. Also made me think of the bait that you use. Do you have to check it every now and then when you're fishing? Yeah, we got a saying that says your credit's no good in this lake. If you got a shiny hook and there's no bait on there, you ain't gonna catch nothing, or very, very rarely. So, how often do we need to be knowledgeable of the bait that we're using? What are we using when we're fishing for men? Are we taking care of that bait? Are we presenting the best that we have? Are we using it in a way that's going to entice people of the world to ask, hey, what is it that you have that I don't have? What is it that you do different that I need to be doing differently? Do we even offer that to them? Do we check it? Do we check what we're doing and update that bait, so to speak, keep it fresh? What else do we know about the fishermen? They're accustomed to hardships and hazards. Is that an important aspect, you think, when it comes to evangelism and to teaching the lost? Yeah, absolutely. We've talked about that before, too. They have to be diligence and honesty. Again, it's a calling. It's pleasing to Christ. It's not really a hindrance to a holy life. You have to keep doing what you're doing. You have to be active in what you're doing. But you have to realize that it's not going to be all an easy road. There's going to be bumps. There's going to be trials. There's going to be tribulations. Not everybody, I don't know how many boxes of worms we took down there, but We caught a lot of fish. Some of you saw the pictures. But we went through a lot of bait to get them fish, too. And we spent a lot of time on the lake and a lot of time throwing that hook out and rebaiting and putting out again. So just with the eye, I guess the translation of the application is, when you're fishing for men and you present the gospel plan to somebody, don't be disappointed. Don't get downhearted if it's not taken and taken right away. All we're doing is presenting it. All we're doing is living it. All we're doing is showing it. It's up to the people to decide whether they want it or not. Let the word do the power, that type of thing. When we talk about going out and fishing literally on the lake, you got things to contend with. You got the sun, you got the wind, you got the weather, you got other people fishing in the same spot, especially if you're catching fish, they all kind of come around, you know. But you have that going on. So what distracts us when we're fishing for men? What's the distractions we have to deal with? Well, the world, the distractions. And quite frankly, the false religions that are out there, the people that are out there competing for the same group to convert or to teach, but don't have the whole truth that they're teaching. That's our competition. The competition is, hey, I'd rather be physically fishing today than I would be attending church services. Or I'd rather go do this than I would to do something serving God and meeting his needs or doing what he wants us to do. And then finally, another characteristic that we have here is that what were they doing? They weren't actually fishing at the time that he called them. They were mending their nets. So what does that have to do with us? How can we apply that? Well, they were using what they had, and they were making it go as far as they could. They weren't going out and buying new nets every time something tore up or something broke. They were using what they had. So the translation of the application there could be, maybe you don't know everything there is to know about Daniel and Ecclesiastes and Revelation and all that good stuff. You know, it's a deeper material. But do you know enough to teach somebody? Well, I would challenge you to say that, yes, you do. If you're a Christian sitting in this room this morning, you know enough to teach somebody else. How do I know that? Because you chose to be a Christian. So that's the simple truth, is you got to be able to tell people why you chose to be a Christian. That's all you need to know to use. And will you get better at it with time? Sure, absolutely. Will you learn more? I tell you, every time you study with somebody and they ask you a question you don't know, all you got to do is say, that's a good question, I'll get back to you. Then you come and call someone who does know the answer, and that does two things. One, it helps you study more, so the next time around, you'll be able to answer that question. Every time you get a question asked and you answer it, you're learning something too. So when it comes to throwing out that bait in the lake, you throw out the wiggler on the hook. Do we got to know how it works or why it works or what it is or, you know, what size worm or how to thread it on the needle? Or no, we put it out there as bait. We let the rest do itself. So when we're presenting the gospel to people, that's what we do. We present the gospel, we let it do its work, and we back off and we let it work. So we use what we have, but we have to know what we have too. You can't just, you know, if you're bass fishing, you don't use the wrong type of tackle. You don't use the wrong type of, you have to know what you're doing, but you do it more often and you get better and better at it. So that's the characteristics of the people that were called. Now let's look at what is the actual call. I mean, again, the more I studied this, the more I was amazed that just out of three verses, you can get so much stuff out of it. So what he actually told them, he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. That's the only thing he told to them. You know, so what can we learn from this? We learn that I think these men had a knowledge of Christ before this. They were what we would call, I guess, ordinary disciples. They were followers. They knew of him. But here they were being called for a closer, more constant attendance. He was telling them, come with me and I will teach you this. I will make you fishers of men. He applied it to them. There's a lesson there, too. They were fishermen. They were interested in fishing. They understood. So he used an analogy that they could understand. And maybe that's the challenge for us, is when we're teaching other people, try to find a way to apply the gospel to their lives in a way that they will understand it. So he says, come be closer to me. You know, and so I guess the point here is that even if we've been called to follow Christ, if we decided that we're going to be Christians, that we're going to be Christ followers, we're convicted, we're convinced, we're baptized, there's still maybe another extra special, more intense calling if you're going to choose to go out and to teach the lost like we've been commanded to do, like we've been asked to do by Jesus. If you're going to do this, it requires more knowledge, more time investment. You know, especially if you choose to do this as a full-time type thing, you've got to follow close to the master. You've got to be an imitator of him. Now, we have to be careful. The warning here is that because we are evangelizing, because we are saving people, we are teaching the lost, we are saving souls, we've got to be careful not to be puffed up in the fact that, hey, I know what's going on and the world doesn't. We have to be careful not to give too much honor. So just realize that we are just fishermen. We are just fishing. We're not the ones doing the catching. We're not the ones. We're just presenting the gospel, the bait. We're showing people how to be fishers. But again, we don't be afraid of this new work or this new effort. When we talk about evangelism, we just had 6 months of adult class on that. You know, evangelism is a scary word. You know, people, evangelism, I can barely say it, let alone spell it, you know. And then you want me to do what? You want me to get out of my comfort zone and go talk to someone that, and then we just all get all backed off and we get scared about it. Don't be afraid of the work that's there. Has God asked us to do anything that we cannot do? No. And so he says, go and teach. He gives us the tools to teach. He gives us the ability to teach. He wants us to do it. So we just have to make ourselves do it, get ourselves out there to do that. And the final point out of this one is that what motivates us to be fishers of men? What motivated the apostles to leave their livelihoods, to leave their families, to go into to be fishers of men? We're going to do it because we're angry. The rest of the world is a bunch of sinners, and they're going to go to hell, and we're here to tell them about it, and we're going to show them where they're going, and we're going to just lay it on the line. Well, no. Are we doing it for wealth and honor for ourselves so we can collect things so people can look at, oh, wow, look how good they are. Look how what he's done. Look at all the people he's saved. Well, no. Why do we have to do it? We have to do it because God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son. How much should we love others? How much else should we love our fellow man? We are in it. The business of fishing is to save souls, to win souls for Christ, and to save them from an eternity of suffering. So the other point here I want to make is it's a new level of calling. It's a deeper commitment. It is. It's just you're making a commitment to do more. It requires the diligence, the time, the effort, consistency. That's the biggest thing. Consistently doing something different is how you form a new habit or break an old habit. Who makes us this way? Jesus is the one that makes it all possible. We just talked about that. He says, I will make you fishers of men. He says, he qualifies us, he calls us, he authorizes us, he gives us the commission to do this, then he also gives us the wisdom to fish for men and to win their souls. That's what it's all about. He's not going to ask us to do something and just leave us on our own. He gives us the tools, he gives us the knowledge, he gives us the ability to do these things. So when we take on this additional responsibility that we've been told to do, we're commissioned to do it. There's not a choice. Go into all the world and teach and preach. That's what it says. It's not go into the world and let some teach and preach or pay someone to teach and preach or, you know, send money to some foreign country so they can teach and preach. It's a personal responsibility for us to teach and preach. And do we have to go to a foreign country? Absolutely not. I mean, look right here in Gilchrist County. There's 18,000 people. I don't think there's that many here this morning. You know, I'm just guessing quick, but we got about 170, 180. So there's a lot of work to be done just right here locally. We don't have to go anywhere. We just look at your neighbors, look in the world around. So again, we come down to this follow me. What do we have to do? If you're going to follow someone, you have to separate yourself from the crowd. You have to separate yourself from the world in this case. We have to choose to put on Christ. We have to choose to be different from others around us. What else do we have to do? We have to be fit and qualified the task. You know, if you're going to go run a race, you can just show up and run it, but you're not going to be nearly as effective or nearly as well at it as if you trained for it, if you prepared for it. If we just showed up the lake with a boat and a fishing rod and tackle, we might do okay, but if we prepare for it, if we know what we're doing, if we get ready for it, then we're going to be much better at it. We're going to be much more qualified for it to it. Not only do we separate ourselves, but who are we supposed to imitate? We're supposed to imitate Christ. You know, how can we teach others what we don't know ourselves? How can we show others what we're not living ourselves? You know, we have to first learn Christ in order to preach Christ. But don't let that scare you again. You don't have to know everything there is about the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation in order to go out and teach someone to save a soul, to fish for men. And that's the reason why, is because we follow as Christ leads us. Christ is the one that leads us. We're not making this up ourselves. He's the one that gives us the material. He gives us the information. You know, when Christ calls us to be employed in service for him, he's going to make sure that we have the equipment that we need. He's going to make sure that we're fitted and we're qualified for it. You know, if we preach Christ, we've got to learn Christ first. We can't expect others to gain knowledge of Christ if we don't have that knowledge ourselves. And if we do choose to be more acquainted with Christ, we've got to be diligent and constant in attending with him. We have to be with Christ in order to take on his characteristics, to be more like him. And so those who are to fish for men must therefore follow Christ, do as he did, with diligence, faithfulness, and tenderness. Christ, of course, is the great pattern that we have. There it is. So in conclusion, that we come back to our first statement. Are you fishing? Well, you are fishing, whether you know it or not. It's kind of like, are you doing it well would be a better question. Do you want to do it better? If you want to be a better fisherman, physically out in the lake, go fishing with Billy Roberts. He'll teach you how to fish. You may not catch much, but you'll learn, you know. If you want to learn how to bring others to Christ, hang out with someone who's doing it. Or follow Christ's example and talk to people, show people that you care and that you love, teach them what you know. You don't have to know everything, but teach them what you know, bring them to a better understanding, more knowledge of what they need and how they need to go. It's really not that hard. I think sometimes mentally we psych ourselves out and we make it so much more difficult than it really is. It's really just a simple matter of just doing it, you know, like the Nike saying, just do it. If you do it once, it's you learn from it. It's not going to be smooth. It's not going to be great. You teach someone once. But here's the other thing, too. When we say evangelizing, we say teaching, you know, fishing, you know, do you have to actually formally sit down and sit with someone and open the Bibles and teach them? No. The final point I want to make is that you're teaching people now. You're teaching people every day of your lives. There are people watching, people seeing, people observing. They're watching. You're teaching. You're fishing now. So are you fishing as well as you should? If you are, great. Keep on fishing. If you need help with it, if there's anything that we can do to help or encourage you, or if you want to begin the life of a fisherman, working for Christ, living in Christ, if you need that kind of help, any one of us would be happy to sit down and study with you more, or the baptistry is ready if you're ready for that point in time. Whatever your needs are, let us know as we stand as we sing this song.